Now, if you will, turn to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We're going to begin reading at verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto ye the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the sword of which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for all saints." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you one more time for allowing us to be here today, dear Heavenly Father, for allowing us to stand before your people and try to bring the word to them, dear Heavenly Father, that you would have us to bring. I pray that tonight that everything that's said and done would be said and done to your glory. I pray that if there's one lost that knows not thee, that tonight would be the night that they would accept you as their personal Savior. I pray for our pastor and his family. Give them back their strength, dear Heavenly Father. Just put your hands of love around them and let them know that you still love them, that you're Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings. And I'll be sure to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. But most of all, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your Son, Jesus, that you sent to the cross to die in our place, that we could have an everlasting life. Now, go with us through the rest of the service. And again, I ask you that everything that's said would glorify you, dear Heavenly Father. And I'll be sure to give you all the honor and the praise and the glory for it through your precious Son's name. I ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When we look at these verses of Scripture, it's about putting on the armor of God. And, you know, we're at war. We're at war with Satan. Satan's job is to separate us from the love of God. You know, over in Peter 5, 1 Peter 5:8, the Bible says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour." You know, every day that we live, every morning that we get up, we have a battle to face. We have Satan to face. And if he can separate us from the love of God, he's winning the battle. He's going to have the victory. But if he can't, then we've got the victory. We got victory in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So how do we fight him? I mean, he's the devil. You know, he's in our life every day. He makes us make decisions. And if we make the wrong decision, well, he wins. You know, we don't need that. How can we fight that? Paul tells us in his writing in Ephesians how to do that. He says, let's put on the armor of Christ. Let's put on the armor of God. You know, the armor of God is made up of 6 different things. It's made up of the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of the faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. And we're going to look at those six things tonight and see what the Bible's got to say about it. You know, back in Paul's day when he was there, the Roman soldiers wore a belt. It was where they could store their weapons. It's how they carried their weapons. Without the belt, they couldn't carry weapons. Paul associates that belt of a soldier with the truth for Christians. God's word is our truth, and it serves as our foundation. It also refers to the truth of the scriptures as opposed to the lies of Satan. Satan is the father of lies. And the belt of truth that we gird our loins with, that we put on, it's the truth. That we have to separate the truth from the lies. And God helps us do that. That protects us. That's one of the armors of God that we use. And we should be using it daily. John 8:32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, holding together the belt will hold together the full armor of God. It's our personal commitment to the truth. If we make that personal commitment to the truth, then we can't go wrong. If we look to God for everything that we do, for every way that we go, for everything that we ask, we can't go wrong. God loves us. The Bible tells us that if we ask things in His name, believe in it, and it glorifies the Father, He's going to give it to us. And that's the truth. You know, that separates us from the world. The second thing that we're going to look at is the breastplate of righteousness. You know, that breastplate, it covers vital organs. It covers your heart, your lungs, and other organs in your body. The Apostle Paul lists several different pieces of armor worn by the Roman soldiers of his day and made an analogical about the spiritual armor needed for Christians. The breastplate is a second piece of the armor of God. And it's likened unto righteousness. The Bible tells us in Romans 3:10, it says, as it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. There's none of us righteous. But when we come to the saving knowledge and we come before God, He makes us righteous. There's no other way to get there. He's the only way. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the times, are the issues of life. You know, when I look at that, it's telling us, you know, to keep our eyes on God, to keep our heart in tune with what God has for us. Look to Him for everything. Depend on man for nothing. God is the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. There's no other way we can get there. One of my favorite pieces about this armor, and you stop and think about what it does, is the shoes of the gospel. Now, I've done a little research about the Roman soldiers back in the day. It says, as a soldier of Christ, we must put on the shoes of the gospel that will allow us to go wherever the Lord leads us. You know, a soldier's shoes formed the foundation of his arraignment. In those days, the foot soldier relied on walking as their primary means of transportation. So the ability to move easily and comfortable was necessary for them. In addition to their shoes, they drove spikes and iron hobnails. I've never heard of a hobnail, have you? But when I think about it, I'm thinking it may be like a concrete nail, yeah? But they drove them through the soles of their shoes, and they done that in order to give them a firm footing on uneven terrain. So when I think about putting on the shoes of the gospel, I think about in Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." He's telling us to go. We're called by his name. He's called us to do a duty. One of those duties is to tell others about him. And so we're to go. We're to tell others. The Bible says in John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." So, you know, he's telling, follow me. He told his disciples, he said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." And that's what he tells us today. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Go ye therefore, preach the gospel. Tell others about me. Tell others about my saving grace. Tell others that I'm here to save them. And the only way to get to heaven is through me, through the shedding of my blood. That's the only way you're going to get there. So tell them. Tell the world. In verse 28, in chapter 28 of Matthew, verse 20, it says, "Teaching them to do whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." So he's not telling us, "All right, I want you to go, but you're on your own." He's telling you, "I want you to go. Go out there and tell the world about me. But remember, when you go, I'm with you." He tells us he'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. Yep, he's with us even until the end of the age. When we can't go no more, when we're laying on our deathbed, he's there. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. And the moment that we take our last breath, guess what? He's still with us. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So the moment I take my last breath here on earth, my soul's going to go to be with Jesus in heaven. You know, now they may lay my body in that grave, but my soul's at home with my Lord. There's nothing, when I said this morning, that no man can pluck us out of the Father's hand. We're sealed until the day of redemption. We've got a home in glory that we'll go live with him forever and always. Moving on to the next part of the armor is the shield of faith. Paul says, above all, take the shield of faith with you. You will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Do we have faith in God? Do we have enough faith that God will see us through anything? That no matter how bad it is, no matter how bad it gets, that if we rely on God, if we have faith in God, that he'll bring us through it? You know, the Bible, Jesus asked the disciples, "Where's your faith? Where's our faith? Is it in God? Do we have that kind of faith?" You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And again, I'm going to relate back to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. By now, everybody knows that that's one of my favorite scriptures. I try to get it into every message I preach. But it says, "For grace are you saved through faith. It's the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's our faith." If we don't have faith in God, if we don't put our faith in God, we don't have faith that God died and was risen from the dead and he's going to return to this earth to call us all home. If we don't have faith in that, we don't have salvation. No. So for grace are ye saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, like I said this morning, there's nothing we can do. We can't buy our way to heaven. We can't work our way to heaven. The only way we're going to get to heaven is through salvation, through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way. Let's move on to the next one, the helmet of salvation. Now, in researching this and looking at the things, the helmet protects the head. Perhaps that's the most vital part of our body, our brain. It tells us what to do. It tells us how to do it. It makes us think. It's our way of life. Without our brain, we could do anything. We're dead. You know, you can't move, you can't talk, you can't eat, you can't do anything. You're dead. You know? So, the question is, can we be certain or sure of our salvation? Can we? Sure we can. You know, yes we can. When a soldier of the Apostle Paul's day suited up for battle, the helmet was the last piece of the arrayment to be put on. In fact, without the helmet, a soldier would be so vulnerable that the rest of the armor would be of little use. So if we don't put on the helmet of salvation, everything else is no good to us. It's not even a little use to us. You know, we have got to have salvation to make anything work, to make our life work. Without salvation, we have nothing. We are nothing. And we will never be anything. But through Christ, I'm telling you, I'm somebody. I'm an heir to the kingdom. I'm an heir to everything he owns. And one day, when I get to heaven, I'll see everything he owns. And I'm going to say, hey, guess what? Some of that's mine. He gave it to me. When he saved me, he gave that to me. Thank the Lord. 1 John 1:9, and here's the way we can be sure of our salvation. In 1 John 1:9, it says, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the old song, have faith in God when your prayers are unanswered. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. We're back to the grace of God again. The mercy of God. The love of God. It brings salvation if we just trust in him. If we just start putting on the armor of God. And the last that's in the armor of God that Paul talks about here is the sword of the Spirit. Now, the sword, when Paul's listing these things, when he's telling us about these things, if you'll notice that the helmet, the breastplate, the belt, the shoes, all the other parts of the armor is a defensive thing. The only offensive thing Paul talks about there is the sword of the Spirit. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and as a descender through thoughts and intent of the heart. What's our sword? This Bible. That's our sword. That's the way we get in contact with God. We pray and we study His Word. We dig into His Word. And I promise you, you dig and you dig. You study your word daily. You pray daily. And God's going to show you the way to go. I promise you that. And last, it's not part of the armor of God, but Paul talks about it here. It's prayer. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all preservation and supplication for the saints. How's our prayer life? Are we praying? Are we asking God to show us the way? Are we asking God to lead us? Do we listen to what He has to say to us when we ask Him? That's a tough question. You know, tough question. So how do we put on the whole armor of God? Romans 13:14 says, put on ye the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill lust. You know, if we listen, if we go by the guidelines, if we go by the word of truth, if we go by what Paul written here in Ephesians, if we go by that, every day that we face the devil, if we look unto God and we put our faith and trust into God, I promise you, we can beat the devil. Without faith, without trusting the Lord, we don't stand a chance. Not a chance. Let's all stand. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we come to you again just thanking you for this day. Thanking you for your word, dear Father. I ask you that we do put our trust in you. We do look for you, to you, for to tell us the things to do and show us the way. That we can have a fellowship with you, dear Father, that we don't succumb to the devil. We don't let him win in our life, dear Father, that we put on your armor and we fight him daily with you. Because you tell us you'll never leave us, you'll never forsake us, that you're with us always. And we claim that promise. We thank you for that promise. We thank you so much for loving us when we're so unlovable. I want to thank you for saving me. You didn't have to do that, Lord. But because of your love and your mercy and your grace, you died on that cross for us. And we thank you for that. Now go with us as we leave this place. May we say it was good to be in the house of the Lord. Bring us back to our next appointed time. And may we be sure to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. For it's through your precious Son's name I ask these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.